Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bull & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bull & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to B-O-L-L and branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
What a play!
Can you believe this?
No, I can't.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Off to the races, and he stays on his feet.
It's just going to go the distance.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
One of our favorite guests is with us today. Nobody better to get you ready for the NFL draft than Emory Hunt. What's going on, Emory? Welcome to Fantasy Football Today. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. I appreciate you guys, as always, bringing me on. I love joining the show.
Oh, it's great to have you. At FB Game Plan on Twix. Dave Richard is here. Heath Cummings here. What's up, Dave? You ready to talk quarterbacks?
I've been ready. Been watching these guys, since January. And I haven't gotten to every single guy in depth, but for the most part, I have. Very comfortable with how I feel about them. I think we've got some fantasy studs on our hands.
I hope so. Heath, how do you feel about this quarterback class?
Some fantasy studs. I like that optimism from Dave. Wouldn't it be great if like three of these guys actually mattered for fantasy football? I'm less optimistic that we have some fantasy studs. I feel pretty confident we have a fantasy stud.
Okay, that's it. Just just what, Emory, what do you think about this quarterback class? You know, we expect to see three, probably four drafted pretty early based on a lot of these mock drafts. But, you know, how would you compare it to last year, for example, where we did have three quarterbacks drafted in the top, four picks? And was it three picks? Sorry, I forget where Anthony Richardson ended up going. But three quarterbacks very early and then none after that in the first round. How would you compare this year to last year?
I had higher grades on the three quarterbacks last year. As you guys remember, Anthony Richardson was my number one QB. Bryce Young was number two. Stroud was number three. But I had all three with an 86 grade. The highest grade I'd have in this class is Caleb Williams with a 90. And then my QB2, Jaden Daniels, I have an 84 grade. So you kind of can see where I feel like this class is. So I just personally believe Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels are going to be the two fantasy studs out the group because of what they bring as a runner and also what they can do for their football team and the situations that they're growing in. Everyone else is going to be a grab bag. So from a fantasy perspective, I think they'll be good players. But just from a fantasy perspective, I think two can hit the gates, get out of the gates running really quickly, figuratively and literally.
Excellent.
And like I said one, and I'm super optimistic and hopeful that Emory's right. The only concern I have is New England lurking. I'm going to feel less confident that Jaden Daniels is going to be a fantasy star right out of the gates if he ends up on the Patriots.
Well, you got Drake May. You got J.J. McCarthy. You're going to see one of the things I love about Emory, and you just heard him say Anthony Richardson was his number one quarterback last year. We'll see how that plays out, but obviously the early returns are very good. You're just not going to get the same rankings that you see from everyone, and he does it differently, and he sees things differently, and he gives you some insight. He's lower on Drake May, lower on J.J. McCarthy, higher on Spencer Rattler and Jordan Travis of Florida State. So we'll get into all the rankings. When you look at this class, A couple things that stand out to me, Emory, are experience. You got some 24-year-olds, right? You got guys like Jordan Travis, who played 6 years, Spencer Rattler, Bo Nix. These guys, that's not the complete list. Michael Penix, they've transferred. They've been playing. They've been around for a while. And also, I find it, a lot of athleticism. We're not talking about these guys who are just going to be pocket passers, right? I mean, it's a lot of guys who can move. Even Rattler, who didn't run a lot, for example, he's got good mobility. But does that jump out to you, the experience and the athleticism of this class, Emery?
Absolutely. And the thing about the experience, you know, we have to start doing our job as media of changing how people view things and how they take in information. Because when we talk about the age, everyone, we used to say just a blanket statement like, oh, this guy could be quarterback or your player. You have him on your roster for a decade plus. Good luck if you got him there for 5 years, right? So because teams are moving on from these guys quickly. We saw that in the running back market this year where you had guys that you thought, man, I never would have seen Joe Mixon leave Cincinnati. Or I never would have seen Derrick Henry not retire, a Titan, or so on and so forth. So for the quarterback position, you kind of can throw in, for a lot of these players, you kind of can throw age out the window. Because, you know, we just saw Chicago move off from a pretty improving, talented player who's young in Justin Fields to get cheaper and younger at the position, right? So when you're looking at the experience, man, I would, it's almost like, you know what? Take that 25-year-old in the first round, because if he gives you 5 years, good for you, because you're probably going to move on from somebody anyway, right? So I look at this and say, hey, at least these guys got experience. And what I like about this year's class, that in regards to the experience, we've seen these guys, Spencer Rattler, Michael Penix, Bo Nix, we've seen these guys get better as they've gotten older and more experienced. They've had two separate careers. Spencer Rattler at Oklahoma is different than what he was at South Carolina. Penix at Indiana, juxtaposed to Washington. Bo Nix at Auburn and Oregon. Two separate careers. So now you can see, okay, this guy has gotten better. It looks different, plays differently. That came with experience. So now we can say, hey, this guy is actually battle tested. He could come in our organization and play really, really well.
Same thing with Jaden Daniels. He had two careers. He started at Arizona State. He got better when he went to LSU. It looked like he got coached up. And we could say it to the same degree, not quite the same degree, on Caleb Williams. Started at Oklahoma. Looked pretty good at Oklahoma when he had a good offensive line in front of him. And then he went to USC and he made some jaw droppers there too. And think about the quarterbacks, Adam, like Cousins, Rodgers, Stafford. They're still playing deep into their 30s. Brady played till he was into his 40s. Being 24, 25 years old as a rookie at quarterback isn't as bad as it is for a running back or somebody else.
Caleb Williams, 3 seasons in college, 120 total touchdowns, 14 interceptions. Unbelievable. And he's clearly the number one quarterback prospect. But just to follow up on that real quick, Emery, I think some people could say, and I've seen the Jalen Daniels criticism. He gets criticized the most for this. And Bo Nix, I think, is going to be also... Well, he wasn't good until he was older, right? Like, he's got a lot of bad in his history. What do we make of it? Is it a bad thing that Bo Nix struggled at Auburn? Is it a bad thing that it took these guys to be older, 23-year-olds playing in college football, or 22, 23-year-olds to excel? I mean, is that a negative in your mind?
Not at all, because, again, Jordan Travis, when I spoke with him at the Combine, said the exact same thing. Like, listen, I couldn't hit a receiver when I was first at Florida State, and he got better, although at the same spot. And the anti-argument to the, well, they took too long to get good. I mean, and not to throw this guy under the bus, it's not throwing him under the bus, but I'm using him as an example. DJ Uiagalelei has played at, is going on his third school, and he's still been the same guy. So we haven't seen him get better, but we've seen these other guys get better. You got to give those guys credit for getting better at different spots.
All right. So we're going to get into the rankings in a moment. I just want to tell everybody what our NFL draft coverage is going to be. So during draft week, we usually have shows on Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. Draft week will be a little bit different. I think we're going to go Monday, Wednesday. We're going to skip the normal Thursday show and wait until midnight after round one of the NFL draft. We'll do a round one recap. We're going to do the same thing on Friday. Technically, it'll be Saturday morning, but about midnight, Friday night, Saturday morning, we'll do a round 2-3 recap, and then we'll do a day 3 recap at some point on Saturday. I think we usually start those in round 7 or something like that, but we're going to have a nightly recap of every single day of the NFL draft. So we'll give you, and if there's a big trade or something like that in the middle, you might see some bonus podcasts, something like that. But we're going to be on top of it. We're not going to make you wait until the Monday to get our fantasy thoughts here. Heath, we have one news item to get to: the Eagles and Packers week one Friday night. Clear your schedule, Heath, or get the barbecue. You should start smoking something or marinating something right now for that big Friday night.
That's I'm sure there's a lot of high school football like fans and people who love that game that are getting very nervous about the idea that the NFL is going to move into the Friday night market. But it will be very fun for week one as long as we just keep it as a week one only thing.
Okay, I could get on board with that. All right, let's talk about the quarterback rankings here for Emery. And why don't you give me a quick scouting report on Caleb Williams? We're going to just do Caleb Williams. He's number one for you. We'll reveal the rest in a little bit. But a scouting report on Caleb Williams, how good you think he can be, and I'm just going to assume he's going to be on the Chicago Bears. And specifically what I want to know from a fantasy perspective is, his rushing stats were really weird at USC. I think he only rushed for 142 yards last year, about 460 or so the previous two seasons. But, we saw like from Justin Fields, for example, much more capable rusher in the NFL than what we saw in college. I want to know how many rushing yards you think we might see from Caleb Williams in a 17-game season and just your overall thoughts. Go!
Listen, I think he's more along the lines of early Russell Wilson's rushing yards. So, about a good 400 to 600, which is still pretty solid, right? And so I think that's what he's capable of. Now, to your point about him at USC, he probably had 3,000 yards scrambling, right? So he just wasn't going forward. But I do feel like he'll have within that 400 to 600-yard rushing range. He probably will end up being a consistent 400-yard rusher, which is good production. He'll have a good 8 touchdowns a season on the ground, I believe. But most of his fantasy production will come through the air because of his ability to. And this is where people get the Patrick Mahomes comp. It's because his ability to keep all options open. What a lot of people need to understand, just because you're in the route doesn't mean you're in the progression. So you may have four guys running routes, but two guys are the focal point of the play. But with Caleb Williams back there, everybody's open. You know what I'm saying? Everybody's available because he has that, sideline to sideline, deep vision of where if he sees you open, he has the green light to get you the football. He can abandon the progression and get the ball to the open guy. So that puts everyone in play, which makes it even harder for guys to defend, which is why they have a problem defending a Patrick Mahomes. So that's the elite part of his game, is that not only can he see you down the field, he has the deep ball accuracy, the arm strength to get you the football immediately. So that's going to be his trump card. He can be a 30-plus touchdown pass guy, 8 rushes on the ground, and I feel like that's where he provides that fantasy value.
Heath, he's Caleb Williams is going into a unique situation where, I think I saw something on ESPN that he's going to be the only quarterback drafted number one overall in X amount of years to have two receivers on his team with multiple 1,200-yard seasons. Right? Usually, number one picks, they go to a bad team. He's going to an okay team, but that now has Keenan Allen and DJ Moore, and they have the 9th overall pick. So, okay, I'm sorry. I know I'm being presumptuous here, but assuming Caleb Williams is on the Bears, where is he in your dynasty rankings at quarterback?
Oh, he's definitely going to be in the top 10. I think where it gets really difficult, and Emery mentioned it, like you've got a higher grade on Caleb Williams than you did on Anthony Richardson. But if there was a style of play that was going to boost you in fantasy above where your NFL grade is, it's Anthony Richardson's, and it's his type of athleticism and rushing ability. So I think in that QB7-8 range around Anthony Richardson is where I'm going to be looking for Caleb Williams. And listen, if he comes out and starts this season like we saw CJ Stroud play last year, it won't take very long for Caleb Williams to move into the top 5 dynasty fantasy quarterbacks.
Dave, would you rather have Caleb Williams or CJ Stroud in dynasty? After this, I got to go to break, but give me that answer.
I'll take the sure thing in Stroud for now. We don't know what Caleb Williams will end up being.
All right, let's take a break. I want everyone to get acquainted with, you probably know a lot about Caleb Williams. I want you to learn more about Spencer Rattler and Jordan Travis and Michael Penix and McCarthy, etc. We'll take a break and come back with more quarterback talk right after this on Fantasy Football Today.
The wait is over. The Chi returns with new episodes on Paramount Plus.
What brings you to the Chi?
Opportunity.
Everybody get down! Walk right up to
the side. A new rain is coming to the South Side.
Never should have sent a boy to do a woman's job.
The Chi. New episodes May 10th. Visit ParamountPlus.com/The Chi to get a 50% discount off the Paramount Plus with Showtime annual plan. Offer ends July 14th. Subscription auto renews. Restrictions apply.
The baseball season is in full swing, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll talk waiver wire ads, drops, players to trade for, prospects who could make an impact, and everything in between. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.
Welcome back, class. Do you have anything else that you feel like you need to say about Caleb Williams before we move on?
I do.
Oh, okay, Dave. I saw Dave.
I've got two favorite stats about Caleb Williams. Number one is how he did in the red zone. He completed 67% of his throws. His touchdown rate, everybody's touchdown rate is very high when you're in the red zone. His was 25.45%. 7.3% of his throws were off target. Only the touchdown rate was not the best among the big five quarterbacks in this draft class. He was not intercepted one time in the red zone last year and was only intercepted once in three seasons and 178 pass attempts. That all-encompassing red zone statistic put him ahead of Jaden Daniels for me. It's what made me like Caleb Williams the most. Williams has also scored a touchdown on 19 of 33 rush attempts inside the 10, 16 of 22 rush attempts inside the 5, and 9 of 11 rush attempts at the 1 yard line at USC. Hearing 8 touchdowns on the ground kind of surprised me at first from Emery when he was talking about Caleb Williams getting there, but he can get there. He's done that. He is a goal line option for an NFL offense.
Emery, before we get to the other guys here, how many quarterbacks do you have as first rounders? How many do you think deserve to be top 10 picks?
Two that I feel like are top 10 picks, but guys that I feel comfortable with taking in round one, maybe four, but guys that I feel like are bona fide first round picks, two. So if you were to sell me on the guys I have at three and four in round one, I wouldn't push back, but you know how I view it and how the NFL will draft him is completely different. So, you know, just like how I had Gibbs ranked as my RB1 and, you know, everyone kind of gave me crap for it. And then when you look at where he was taken and how he played, that's where my grades come into play. But I feel strong about two. I can be convinced on two others in the first round, but for the most part, I feel like this is a really second round Grady type QB class.
Oh, that's so upsetting. It's so upsetting because next year's got this reputation. Like right now, we don't know what's going to happen. You know, the guys have these huge seasons like Jaden Daniels, but of next year's class, not supposed to be nearly as good as this year's class. So if you're in a super flex league looking to reload at that position, we're hoping maybe we get some good landing spots. Maybe we get some good scenarios here. Let's talk about Jaden Daniels. He's the other guy for you, Emery, that you think is a top 10 type of player. You have him as your QB2. Very good chance he goes to Washington, maybe New England. Your thoughts on Jaden Daniels?
People underestimate what he did at Arizona State. And I'll start there first, because as a true freshman, 17 years old, beating Justin Herbert in top 5-ranked Oregon in Tempe. And when you think about why that was able to happen, yes, he had, you know, Ricky Pearsall. He had, Brandon Ayuk. He had some good players around him to help elevate him as a freshman, as a true freshman. But what you can't elevate is the dog inside somebody, the ice coldness in his veins. That's what you want. His situational football is outstanding. So third down offense, backed up offense, red zone offense, 4-minute offense, that's where he excels. And now you look at what he did at LSU. People always bring up this past season, like, oh, well, he, you know, had these great receivers and they threw a lot. He had a lot of yards and blah, 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 blah. Like, how about last year? He had him in an SEC title game with one of the worst defenses in college football. You know what I'm saying? So this dude has what you want at the position. Yes, we know he can throw. Yes, we know he can run. But it's the intangible things, the situational awareness. When they need a drive to get done, think back to last year's Florida State game in the opener. As bad as LSU played in that game, the last 4 minutes, it was like, Jaden Daniels, we need a 98-yard drive. Boom. Went down the field, touchdown, but they missed the extra point, right? And we saw them beat Alabama at LSU, you know, last year as well. This year, who knows how that game would have turned out if he didn't get knocked out on a cheap hit going underneath his chin. So I like the intangible parts of his game, which is what you really need to play the quarterback position well at the NFL level. All the tangible things, yes, he has a deep ball placement and touch on those passes. Yes, he has A-plus athleticism. And I think all of that combined with the intangible things is why I like him as a top 10 player.
Heath, why don't you jump in there and give your thoughts on Jaden Daniels and where you see him in Dynasty if he goes second or third overall?
Yeah, as long as he's a top three pick, he's absolutely my QB2 and probably right behind Caleb Williams, both in Superflex startup drafts and in the Dynasty quarterback rankings. Emery mentioned that dog in him, and there's no doubt about that. I wish, like, sometimes it looks like when he's running the ball, he thinks he's Anthony Richardson size.
Yes.
And that's the dog in him. And that's great for winning football games. It makes me nervous about longevity and the types of hits. And hopefully that's just something that goes away when he gets to the NFL a little bit. But man, in terms of the downfield passing profile combined with the elite athleticism and like the intensity that he plays with, I have no trouble believing that this guy also could eventually be a top five dynasty quarterback just because of how many fantasy points he scores.
Yeah. By the way, I don't want to pigeonhole Heath into just dynasty. We should talk about where he's going to be just for 2024 as well. A lot of potential here for Jaden Daniels. And Dave, you can give me your thoughts on him as well. He is another guy who's going to be 24 years old. It's, I think, not until December. So he'll play at age 23. He got a great arm and he rushed for 885 yards as in 2022, rushed for 1,100 yards in 2023. Just made a huge jump in his senior season. Dave, give me your thoughts on Jaden Daniels. Tell people why we should be so excited from a fantasy standpoint.
Because we've seen him improve as a college football player. Emery referenced his first year at Arizona State and his years at Arizona State. He made some great plays. He also doesn't look anywhere close to the same quarterback that he was at LSU. His footwork is awesome. His mechanics are awesome. The coaches aren't going to have to worry about that. They're going to have to worry about what Heath brought up, which is his slender frame. He's very lean. You think back to guys like RG3 who ran around a lot, weren't big guys, took a lot of hits, ended up being out of the league. That is a possible outcome for Jaden Daniels. That is the risk that comes with him. The reward is obviously with his rushing and the fact that he should easily lead this quarterback class in rushing yards and be one of the top rushing quarterbacks in the National Football League as soon as year one, could very easily have over 1,000 yards on the ground. And the accuracy, I love it on downfield. Here's what it is on passes of 15 or more air yards last year. He was tops not only among the Big Five, but in the entire FBS. In completion rate, 63.3% of his throws were completed last year. Touchdown rate. This is throws of 15-plus air yards. 31.1% touchdown rate. Heath can tell you how crazy that number is. His off-target rate, best in the FBS at 13.3%. He had no interceptions. A lot of people are going to put their fists on their hips and say, well, that's because he had Malik Nabers and he had Brian Thomas. And yeah, those guys are awesome. Those guys are fast. He made some throws that helped them get some awesome catches. Sideline routes down the field. I can see it now. Neighbors against Alabama. Just perfect ball placement so that Neighbors could make a monster play. And I do want to bring up what he did inside the 10, inside the 5, at the goal line as a rusher. Not quite as prolific and not quite as consistent as Caleb Williams. Let's just look at the 1 yard line plays, 16 rush attempts from the one, scored 9 touchdowns from there. So not as good of a conversion rate as Caleb Williams, but he did get his nose dirty down there. I think you'll see him be used as a factor inside the 10, maybe not the goal line, depending on where he goes. Last point, last year when CJ Stroud went to Houston, we said, yeah, great quarterback, terrible situation, might take him years to get going. You never know how a quarterback could adapt to his surroundings and step up as a rookie, even if he doesn't have the weapons that you think he's got. So even if Jaden Daniels goes to New England, I'd be fairly excited about him. I might even be very excited about him because he might be the only offensive weapon that the Patriots have.
That's not good, though. I mean, I'd much rather him go to Washington, right? I mean, I understand what you're saying.
I think he's going to go to Washington.
Yeah,
I
hope so.
If he goes to New England, he runs around. He might get more yardage in New England than he gets in Washington.
Rushing,
and
yeah.
If he's as good of a thrower as we're making him out to be, then someone will step up as a pass catcher there. Someone better than DeMario Douglas can step up as a pass catcher to help him out.
Well, I mean, you can say that, but there's not somebody like that on the team. Like, I do worry that if he gets into that situation where in New England, where he's Mr. Do Everything, that could be bad for his development as a quarterback. Like, if you no weapons and it's just drop back 2 seconds, I know nobody's going to be open. I'm just taking off again. That's why I mentioned the New England thing. Like, that's the one thing that concerns me basically with all the quarterback prospects is I don't think that situation is going to be good.
Well, they have the 34th pick. They have the second pick of round two. So I'm sure we'd love to see them take a wide receiver there. Like the Panthers hit two home runs with Bryce Young and Jonathan Mingo last year, right? But no, I mean, we'll see what happens. But Joe Burrow and T.
Like
Higgins.
Like the Texans did with C.J. Stroud and Tank Dell. And
yeah.
Dell wasn't. Was Dell a second rounder? I think it was a third rounder.
A third rounder, I'm pretty sure. But Joe Burrow and T. Higgins would be another example. But you could definitely see them doubling up on offense there. I want to ask you, Emery, one thing I didn't really see from Daniels. You watched a lot more than me, but the quick slant or him firing a dart into tight coverage over the middle, 7 yards away, or like a very NFL throw, a throw that you have to be able to make. I know Drake May can make that throw. I know Caleb Williams can make that throw. I haven't seen a ton of that from Jaden Daniels. Have you? Can he make that throw?
He lived in the intermediate level of the field. You know, he was consistent. That's where a lot of Neighbor's success came on these little stop routes, these little dagger routes, like catch that and go. You know, especially last season, you know, he made a touch. That's why when people was, you know, you've seen the narrative go around, he can't throw over the middle of the field. Like, yo, are y'all watching these games?
Right, it's not just me, because people are saying that he doesn't throw.
That's what I'm saying, because can like pull up a 9-minute video of clips of nine seconds each of him completing very good NFL throws. What worries me about Daniels is the you mentioned the slants, right? That's where sometimes I feel like he gets a little bit all arm. He doesn't really set his feet consistently, and so when you do that, the placement is just a hair off. So you'll see receivers do this as they're running. Now you have great receivers that can catch like this while they're on the move, but you want that to be here and here as opposed to here, right? So it's those subtle things. And to the injury point, listen, Carson Wentz 6'5", 230, hurt. How many times we've seen someone like, Ryan Tannehill 6'4", 230, hurt. It doesn't matter how big or small you are to get hurt. Injuries happens. Injuries are freak occurrences. We saw Aaron Rodgers get hurt untouched. We've seen that a lot. So you just hope that, to your point, you become a little bit more judicious when you run. Like, we've seen this, like, for the full gambit. Vince Young, 6'5", 230, ran under control. Mike Vick, 6 feet, 205, out of control. RG3 is a little bit more reckless than Lamar Jackson. So it's all about, you know, making sure you know when and where to turn on the Jets and when and where to be Herschel Walker. But it doesn't matter if you're big or you're small, because injuries can happen to anybody.
All right, you might imagine that we're going to be talking about, in some order, Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, and Michael Penix. And those three are back to back to back in Emery's rankings, with May, then Penix, then McCarthy. But they are not 3, 4, and 5. They are 5, 6, and 7. This is where the shakeup comes. Number 3 in Emery's rankings is Spencer Rattler out of South Carolina, and number 4 is Jordan Travis out of Florida State. Why do you like Rattler and Travis better than the next 3 that everybody, that the consensus has in May, McCarthy, Penix? You have Rattler and Travis, 3 and 4.
For Rattler, in my opinion, Rattler to me we talked about the two separate careers, right? But I felt like he had the best pro arc. Like, we saw the come out the gates firing on all cylinders right at Oklahoma, where people were saying, hey, you could just tank next year and take Spencer Rattler number 1 overall. Then that sophomore season, he doesn't play well. He plays well statistically, but he doesn't play well on the field, which is why we saw Caleb Williams come in the ball game, take off on that 70-yard run against Texas. And it was like, hey, Spencer, hold this clipboard for me, hold these headsets for me, and sit here for a little bit, right? And so then he transfers. So that's fine, right? You lose your job to a guy that won the Heisman that is going to be the number one overall pick. No shame in that. But then he goes to South Carolina. And he struggles there, too. And it's like, man, you know, what did people see? And then the last six games of 2022, the upset over Tennessee, the upset over Clemson, playing well in the Gator Bowl against Notre Dame, is like, I thought he would have come out the draft last year while your name was hot. Like, this is when you should come out, when everyone is like, man, Rattler has been playing great the last six games. Come out in the draft. But he goes back because he wants to get more pro coaching. I was like, okay, that's admirable. But now you get more opportunities for people to poke holes in your game, and you better come out firing. We saw him outplay Drake May in the opener. We saw the offensive line issues they had for the first part of the season. And then he consistently played well throughout the season, like he played the last six games of 2022. So it was like, okay, this dude actually got better. He got humbled. He got better. Then you spoke with him at the combine. It was like, okay, I understand. I asked him specifically the question, what's the most important part of playing quarterback? What's the first attribute you want, or what's some of the key attributes? And I'm glad he understood the question I was asking, because he talked about all the intangible things before he even brought up arm strength, accuracy, all that stuff like that. I was like, he gets it now. Then we rewind a little bit. Going into the Senior Bowl, when Senior Bowl MVP has a great week down there in Mobile. So I like that he's battle tested. And I compare his game now to Tampa Bay Baker Mayfield as opposed to Browns Baker Mayfield. Two different quarterbacks. One is a little bit more, you know, has seen a lot, done a lot, and understands now how to play the position and what's required of the position, as opposed to Browns Baker Mayfield. Now, for Jordan Travis, I truly believe if he doesn't break his leg, if for whatever reason people feel like his leg got amputated, this dude just broke his leg, he's fine. Like, he's okay. But if he doesn't break his leg, Florida State goes to the playoffs. He plays well in the playoffs. He probably win the national championship.
Oh, what? Excuse me. Excuse me. No,
it would have been a great game.
No way.
And then he is going to play in the All-Star game circuit, so people get to see him there. And then he's going to compete at the combine. But because he missed all of those things, people don't remember what he's done on the field. He was a legit asset to what he brought to the table for Florida State. We saw what that team looked like without him, right? It was heavily defensive-laden against Louisville. Then it just, you know, took the bowl game off against Georgia. But Jordan Travis can play. Kind of reminds me a lot of what Russell Wilson looked like at NC State. A guy that just moves the chains. And that's what I like about him. The chains just move. The offense just moves by hook or by crook. You know, it's going to be with his legs, or it's going to be with his arm. Now, he tends to flatline some throws, you know, and touch is something that he's going to have to work on, because everything is a fastball. But, man, I like the fact that the situational part of his game is what brings him to the table, which is why I like both guys at 3 and 4.
Rattler has an amazing arm. Travis gets some criticism there. Do you think that Travis really has the arm strength?
He has the arm strength. He needs to add the touch, and he has to be able to layer throws. You know, you'll see Rattler do that. You saw that as an 18-year-old freshman, right? Him be able to layer throws versus cover two in that honey hole between the corner and safety right in the bucket. He could do that. He could throw it over top on, you know, a cover three guy that's buzzing over from the center field to the hash. He's able to get that ball to the corner to the receiver can run toward and create even more separation. Right now, I feel like Travis is more short to intermediate as opposed to intermediate to deep, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Do you guys, either of you, Heath or Dave, think that Rattler and Travis should be ranked or are justified in being ranked ahead of May, McCarthy, Penix?
Well, I don't have it that way, but I want to go back to something Emery said earlier when you asked him how many first-round quarterbacks that there were, and he said, like, legitimate first-round guys, two. And we talked about those guys, Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels. So it sounds to me like I don't necessarily disagree with anything that Emery said either, but in saying that Drake May is behind these guys who are kind of questionable into the first round, early second round, this is more of a you being lower on Drake May and J.J. McCarthy than everyone else than it is being a lot higher on Rattler, right? Like, him being taken at early in round two or late in round one could absolutely happen in 2 or 3 weeks.
For who? Rattler?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, I have a higher grade on Rattler and Travis as opposed to May, but right. I don't think May is a bad player. I just feel like May is incomplete. We'll get to him shortly, but mm-hmm. you know, if you want someone that's battle tested, that you've seen someone go through some ish, I'd rather that guy dealing with the NFL. And that's the reason why, if we go back to 2020 or 2021, that's why I had Justin Fields as my QB2. And I said the best place for him would be New York. And I'd rather Zach Wilson, who I had as QB3, I believe, go to San Francisco, because I knew mentally Fields is ready to handle New York, you know, and we saw him handle Chicago rather well, you know, the ups and downs. I felt like Wilson would have been better suited mentally to go out west to San Francisco based on what he was coming from at BYU. Mm-hmm. I just like the fact that Rattler has been legit through the mud. And you know what? NFL season will drag you through the mud, which is why I threw out the Baker Mayfield reference for him, as opposed to, you know, a Justin Herbert reference for a Drake May.
Well, I'll just correct you on one thing. Everyone's best destination is San Francisco. That's where everyone should go. They all thrive there. Dave, your take. Rattler, I mean, I get it with Rattler. Travis was definitely a curveball. Wasn't really expecting to see him ahead of the other guys. But I will, you know, I made a habit. Y'all know where I went to school. I rooted against Jordan Travis, not as a person, but as a team every week. And that guy is a winner. I mean, he always ruined my afternoon, because FSU. Even when you thought, oh, this is it, they're going to lose this game, this guy was clutch. The Clemson comeback, the overtime win, was just tremendous. The guy, Jordan Travis, is a clutch winner. I do love that about him. But Dave, what do you think about Rattler and Travis ahead of May, Penix, and McCarthy?
I wouldn't put them ahead of May, Penix, and McCarthy, but I get what Emery sees in them. These are two guys that I haven't done enough work on, and I need to do it. Travis especially. My experience is the same as yours, Adam, where we watched him play. We rooted against him just because he was a Seminole, and he was awesome. So I wonder if he would be like the consensus sixth quarterback if he never had broken his leg and he had done all the things that Emery talked about, went on the All-Star game circuit and showed out there too. Rattler, I don't have good notes on from the Senior Bowl. I know that he was the game MVP, but I saw a lot of inaccuracy there, even in drills against air. And that makes me a little bit nervous for a guy who's been in college for as long as he has, to not see him develop the same way that other quarterbacks that we've talked about and will talk about makes me a little bit nervous too. But you can't take away the arm strength, mm-hmm. and you can't take away the mobility. And I think he does have some qualities that coaches are going to look at and say, I think I can fix that guy. I think I can make that guy a good quarterback, and he'll be drafted as a backup somewhere.
Yeah. It's kind of like Drake May, because I think you're going to see similar criticisms for Rattler and May. There's going to be some throws into coverage where you're just like, well, don't do that. I don't really see that from Jaden Daniels. I don't know if anyone disagrees with that. That was one of the things I was so impressed with Jaden Daniels. Almost never.
Occasionally, but not often.
Yeah, but a lot of great physical tools for Rattler. Drake May definitely fits that description. We're going to talk about him. We're going to talk about Penix, McCarthy, DJ Irons, Joe Milton, Michael Pratt when we come back on Fantasy Football Today.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
CBS Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
I'm a citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe. I'm a
survivor. I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor, Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
All right, let's get to the next group here. And it's May, Penix, and McCarthy. And all five of them have a chance to go, okay, stating the obvious, in the first round. May, seems like the most certain. McCarthy, you see him mocked going fourth overall in some cases. Penix is a little more interesting. A lot of people have him in the first round, but then there's a group of people that just don't buy it. You got an extensive injury history for Michael Penix, two torn ACLs, two season-ending shoulder injuries. But your rankings, Emery, are May, Penix, McCarthy in that order. How close is it among those three?
You know, May is very close. It all depends on what you prefer, in my opinion, because May is someone that he's young, so you have that plus for him, or younger, and so he still has room to grow. So does McCarthy. And for May, it's like, okay, you like the athleticism. You like that he can, you know, throw with some velocity. He has all the on-paper traits, you know. I thought he did a solid job following Sam Howell. But when you put all that together and you're wondering, why didn't UNC win a lot of games? And I know wins aren't a quarterback stat, but I do need you not to lose to Virginia. I do need you to kind of supersede some of the bad defensive play. And I also need you to not go cold in games. Like, you go and watch the game against Clemson. Great first quarter. Amazing, legitimate, insane throws. Where was that the rest of the game? And so you go and you watch him play. You're like, man, like, yeah, I see that. That's a great throw. But, man, like, why are you not converting these third downs? Or why are you not doing what's necessary to help your team win on a consistent basis? And so that's where my Justin Herbert comp came for him, because you saw great throws from Herbert in college or whatnot. But for whatever reason, you just walked away like, I still feel like I'm missing something.
Yeah.
Like, what is it that everybody's seeing? And then you look at Herbert as a pro, and it's like, fantasy, yeah, great. But in terms of, the actual game, bro, I need you to not lead the league in fourth quarter interceptions since you got into the league. That's a bad statistic, you know, because that means, hey, you got the ball to go win the game and you're giving the ball away, taking point the Dallas game, taking point the Ravens game. Like, bro, what are you doing? Like, you are. And what I like about May more than Herbert, at least we know May will take off. You know, Herbert tends to forget he's an athlete at times and take sacks. Like, May won't take those sacks. May will take off and pick up those cheap, you know, 8, 9, 10, 12 yards, right? And that's what I like about May. So I still feel like May has shown a little bit more than Herbert did, in my opinion, come out of college, which is why I have a higher grade on May than I did on Herbert, and which is why I think May is right there as someone that can be a starter.
Dave, Heath, do you guys have strong feelings about May versus McCarthy versus Penix?
May first.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I could see a path, and I don't know if you agree with this, Dave. I could see a path if Drake May goes to Washington and Jaden Daniels falls for some reason. I could see a path to Drake May being the QB2 in terms of fantasy football rankings, dynasty rankings. I have a harder time seeing anyone else be the QB2, and maybe some of that's just because of what we've heard about where these guys are going to be drafted, and I'm putting too much into that. But I'm more of a believer in May than I am McCarthy, and it does. If he goes to Washington at two overall, then I think there's a chance he's the second best quarterback in this class. I have a hard time seeing Drake May. Like, I mentioned it with Caleb Williams, and I mentioned it with Jaden Daniels. I could see those guys jump into the top six dynasty quarterbacks, like, immediately. Like, four games in, and everybody's like, oh, yeah, we're in. I kind of feel like Drake May is going to be in that QB 10 to 16 range for a large chunk of his career.
Oh, wow. I like May. I don't love him. I think he's got potential to be a very good thrower, but it's potential. And you brought up him going to Washington. It's a fit. He's a fit there. Daniels is a fit there. It really will come down to, like, what they want in Washington. Maybe as far as body types, that could be the tiebreaker. It could be who was the bigger winner in college. That's a tiebreaker that'll favor Daniels over Drake May. I think that May, maybe I'm in the minority on this. I think he needs a little time. And if he were to go to New England, I'd almost be happy if he starts the season on the bench and Jacoby Brissett shows them the ropes. I think that's also the type of quarterback that New England's really looking for, is a pocket passer, big arm. That's what Alex Van Pelt has dealt with his entire career. I don't know how long he'll be the OC for New England, but as far as the starting point, I think May fits in there. But I worry a little bit about May's footwork in the pocket. I think his mechanics are a little elongated. I wonder if that could be coached up. Man, when he's pressured, he rushes through things. That's when turnovers happen. But he's also a good athlete. So on top of being a strong – here are my favorite positives about May. He's a good athlete. He's got a strong arm. He's a really good anticipatory thrower. I think he's better than Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels in that regard. And I think he can score some rushing touchdowns as well. I just think that he needs a little bit of time to develop, whereas I think if you draft Daniels, I think he's ready to go. Like you said, Heath, same thing with Caleb Williams. Where would I really love to see him is in Minnesota, where he's got familiar faces there. Josh McCown was his coach in high school, and McCown is now the quarterback's coach in Minnesota. And so if the Vikings were able to give up the farm to move up to three to get Drake May, I'd love that, and I'd be okay with him. I think his dynasty stock would go way up if we knew that he was going to throw to Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, that'd be pretty awesome. I guess I'm surprised to just give my thoughts here. Surprised that J.J. McCarthy is getting, you know, top five buzz. I'm not really sure I get it, Emery. He does have a great arm, and he's a really good athlete. I mean, I think you're going to say that about a lot of guys in this class. They can run. Even Penix, it's just not a lot of rushing stats, but it's not like he's just a stationary guy that can't move a little bit. And he also has a great arm. But man, I'm just surprised, especially because like, he wasn't even that good against Washington in the championship game.
Nope.
I'm just surprised to see it. You know, people mocking him at four overall, something like that with McCarthy. What kind of prospect do you think he is?
He's a good football player, but would be a terrible fantasy quarterback. And here's, I'm a explain my criticism, but also give him some credit. I'm gonna start with the credit first, you know, because I know a lot of people will bring up he didn't throw a lot. They didn't ask him to throw a lot. How can you trust him? Here's a retort. If you were throwing the ball 40 times a game and you were 27 to 40, you missed 13 passes. You still have a good game. You still have the luxury of having those misses. It's no different than the criticism people threw out there for option quarterbacks back in the day. Like, man, he didn't throw the ball a lot, so you can't throw in the league. Well, think about this. If I ask you to throw 15 times a game, you better hit 12 of them. So imagine the importance of those throws, right? So you're on a 9-play drive. They've run the ball 9 straight times, and here is play 10, and it's 3rd and 5. Like, oh, JJ, here you go. We need you to hit this pass for 3rd and 5. Like, damn, I didn't throw the ball all drive. I'm cold, but I got to make this throw to keep this drive going. And he made those throws, you know? So when you asked him to make the play, he made the play. It's kind of like the Alex Smith type of approach, right? And it just so happened we're talking about a guy that Harbaugh coached. So I feel like McCarthy can be a good quarterback. I wouldn't take him in the first round, but if I had a team that needed him to be a piece of the puzzle, I think that's the other part too. We got to start talking about these guys as a piece of the puzzle and not the puzzle, right? Mm-hmm. Because I think that's where teams have started to overvalue quarterbacks and put a lot on these guys when they're just pieces of the puzzle, i.e. Brock Purdy. Even with all of what we know from Brock Purdy and what we have seen, you're still not taking Brock Purdy in the top five. So unless you have all these pieces in place and you need a final piece to the puzzle, that's J.J. McCarthy.
And I think like something Emery said early in the show that not everybody agrees with, and we're probably seeing it with McCarthy, is like he's okay with those 24, 25-year-old guys. He loves the progression that he's seen. J.J. McCarthy turned 21 like 3 months ago. He's 6 months younger than Drake May, who's only 21 years old. And so I think that there are people, like the reason, Adam, maybe we see him as a top five prospect is there are certainly GMs and coaches in the league that think, well, yeah, I'm comparing him to this 24-year-old, but imagine how good J.J. McCarthy is going to be after 3 years of our coaching. He's going to be a lot better than this guy who's 24 right now. So his youth definitely working to his advantage in that regard. Mm-hmm.
All right, then who is Michael Penix? He'll be 24 years old next month. As I said, 2 torn ACLs, 2 season-ending shoulder injuries. But this, I mean, the numbers are just ridiculous. 2 straight seasons with more than 4,600 passing yards, 31 or more touchdown passes. J.J. McCarthy didn't throw for more than 3,000 yards in a season, and Penix was more than 4,600 each of the last 2 years. threw a lot more, obviously. He also ran, I think, a 4.51. I think let's address one of the concerns with Penix. He played behind a tremendous offensive line. And if anybody watched the national championship game, the line wasn't so tremendous that night, and neither was Michael Penix Jr. So what if he plays on a team, Emery, that just has an average offensive line? Is Penix mobile enough, good enough? He's got the arm, but is he good enough to overcome that? And then just your overall thoughts on Penix.
Well, that's going to be the biggest challenge. And if we're going to throw out what he did in the last 2 years, the most important statistic is he stayed healthy the last 2 years. So there were no injuries at Washington. All those injuries are at Indiana. So therefore, we got to see arguably the best of Penix. Because as we start to see him try to grow at Indiana, injury after injury after injury. We didn't see that at Washington. He stayed healthy for 2 years. So we got to give him a lot of credit for that. And you hope that's the case moving forward. But what the footwork is, what within the pocket is where he could have some concerns, which is what you saw against Michigan, right? Where they kind of got muddied in the pocket and his footwork, his base wasn't set, which led to inaccuracies. That's NFL quarterback play right there. Like, you got to be able to maintain your balance, maintain your footwork, or have the elite level arm talent to make those off platform throws like that. And that's where he's going to have to really showcase that. Now, him running the 4.1, if you didn't care about his mobility, then you shouldn't care about him running the 4.45 or 4.4 in the 40, right? Because that don't matter, because he didn't run at Indiana. He didn't run at Washington. So that's not really a part of his game. But it could potentially be a situation where he unveils it as a pro, kind of like what we saw CJ Stroud do, right? Where, hey, I didn't know this dude could take off like that and pick up cheap yards. Yeah, he can. He just wasn't doing it because he didn't want to get, that stigma, the stigma of him being a runner and not a passer. So I get it from that perspective. But I think his footwork just has to clean up. I also feel like this, and so I'm glad somebody did this online, where if you just flipped his videos to where he's right-handed, then
yes,
people will be like, oh, wow, he could really throw. Like, people just looking at a left-handed quarterback and thinking like, dang, man, like, it just looks weird. Yeah, because he's left-handed. But it's still to say that the ball's getting there on time, is getting there accurately deep down the field. And where he grew as a passer at Washington, he added touch, which added timing, which added anticipation, which is why we saw the deep ball be more of effective at Washington than it was at Indiana.
We have talked about seven guys. In the right situation, how many of these seven guys, and that would be Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Spencer Rattler, Jordan Travis, Drake May, Michael Penix, and J.J. McCarthy. This question's for all of you. How many of these guys could be great NFL quarterbacks and great fantasy options?
I think two can be both. But I think great NFL quarterbacks, great is a heavy word. I would say two can be both because of what they do athletically. But if you're talking about good quarterbacks, I do feel like five of these guys can be good players, where their team gives them a second contract or picks up their fifth-year option, put it that way. That's where we are now, right? So I feel like that can happen with five of these guys. But in terms of being great, I think two.
And if you're talking fantasy, I don't know if there's a situation better than Minnesota's. They have been opening at quarterback. Amazing receiving core. I didn't even mention TJ Hockenson when I brought him up before. Offensive line's pretty good. Coaching staff loves to throw the football. Big questions long-term at running back for that franchise. I think any of the top five, my top five, would be welcome in Minnesota by fantasy managers around the world.
I think it's a different, like, the great word you put on it, so it makes it difficult. Two, I'd agree with Emery. Two could be great in the right situation with the right development. I think anybody we've talked about so far could give you a top 12 season at some point, especially if they end up in a situation as good as Minnesota's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not the biggest Drake May guy because of all the inconsistencies and because there's just too many, like, what are you doing? Why are you throwing that ball into double coverage? But he is young, and man, is he toolsy, right? Great arm, and he's big. He's big. He's got great size. I do feel like Drake May could be great. I think Justin Herbert is a terrific comparison. I think we can all sit here and say Justin Herbert, either a lot of people say he is great, Doesn't sound like Emery feels that way. Feels like it leaves a little bit left to be desired, but certainly he could be great, Justin Herbert. Let's shake things up. Let's have the Chargers stun the world. Draft night trade. They trade Herbert. They draft J.J. McCarthy. Reunite McCarthy with Harbaugh. That would be a lot of fun. All right, we got a few more. I want to talk about DJ Irons out of Akron. That's number 8 for Emery. Joe Milton out of Tennessee, number 9. And number 10 is Michael Pratt out of Tulane. Irons out of Akron, Milton of Tennessee, Pratt from Tulane. Are these day 3 picks for you?
These are day 3 picks. And Pratt, honestly, could be the surprise day 2. Because if you think about the intangibles, Pratt did what he did at Tulane. Like, I never thought I'd utter the words that someone that grew up, born and raised in New Orleans would utter the words, Tulane Cotton Bowl beats USC. What? Like that never would have happened, right? So the fact that he did that at Tulane, athletic, battle tested. Yeah, he's a little raw in terms of the consistency with his placement, and sometimes he could be more of a thrower than a passer. But when you think about someone that was able to do more with less, and if you're a team that say, hey, maybe we could we could take a position player in round 1 and double back and get this guy in round 2. Like if you're the Raiders and you can get Pratt, or if you're Minnesota and think like, man, maybe we don't trade up to get one of these guys and we double up on elite position players and take Pratt. So I like Pratt the most out of those three. The reason why I have Irons in terms of potential, Irons has played a lot of football. He's started at Eastern Kentucky in 2018. So we talk about someone that's older. He got injured. That's why he didn't play in the All-Star game circuit. But when it's funny how I found Irons as I was watching another prospect for Akron, I was like, why is this quarterback so damn good? Like, why is no one talking? Like, this dude is throwing the ball outside the numbers, and it was against Ohio State. We're talking about him against, you know, these Power 5 schools. Like, yo, this dude is legit. And so they ran a 2-quarterback system at Akron. Jeff Undercuffler is in this class, too. It was the guy that they were splitting time with. And I know a lot of what Joe Moorhead runs at Akron translates to the NFL. So he was making legit NFL throws. Milton is someone, it's unique because for Milton, you kind of can see how he can have success. But it's kind of like an antiquated way of having success. Like heavy run game, hard play action, deep shot down the field. But the problem is his deep ball accuracy, which you expect him to be great at because he has such a strong arm, it wasn't the best. He didn't have the best numbers going deep down the field. So he lived in the intermediate area, which is fine. You could win some games like that, but his lower body has to be more consistent. I feel like he has that Carson Wentz syndrome where he'll get to the top of his drop and then boom, cement shoes. He just stays flat-footed in the pocket. Like, man, you got to be nimble. You got to move. So he's more – you hate to say developmental because he's been in college for so long. And he started at 2 separate programs and subsequently got benched. So it's kind of like, okay, maybe he is what he is. Maybe he's a QB too. But Pratt, I would circle him as the one that has the upside more so over the other two guys.
All right. There's someone that's not in your top 10 that I need to ask you about. We'll finish the show with a few minutes on Bo Nix out of Oregon. Another guy who's 24 years old, 3 seasons at Auburn, 2 seasons at Oregon. In 2023, Bo Nix, 4,500 passing yards, 45 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. Where is this man in your rankings? Why is he not in your top 10, Emery?
He's probably 11. Okay. You know, if I'm looking at it right now, Bo Nix is actually, he is quarterback 11.
There you go.
And the thing about Nix is a lot of what we see from him in that Oregon offense won't translate to Sunday. You know, people see the throws that he makes across the field, across his body, keeping plays alive. We love that, right? But if we say that about Caleb Williams, like, oh, these plays are not going to work in the NFL. We've got to say that about Oregon and the amount of bubble screens they throw in that offense. And also, I don't think his arm is as strong as people make it out to be. So now we're talking about him with an umbrella on his passing game in terms of where he can have success, short to intermediate, as opposed to intermediate to deep down the field. And when you combine that with his propensity to make the turnover and some of that Auburn Bo Nix creeps up into his game, that's why I don't have him in that top 5 as opposed to the second 5 that I would have him in.
Yeah, a record 77. It's actually 77.4, I think, percent completion rate. Yep, 77.4. Very low ADOT, fifth lowest ADOT, maybe sixth lowest ADOT, or air yards per pass attempt anyway, among qualified quarterbacks, so 125 of them. So, yes, a lot of kind of gimmicky stuff in the Oregon offense. But I guess I wouldn't be shocked just based on mock drafts I've seen to see Bo Nix go in the second round. I thought maybe that would be a fallback option because you have these teams that need both a quarterback and a wide receiver or a quarterback and a tackle. And if they don't end up with their quarterback, obviously the Patriots, the Giants come to mind immediately. Where do they go in round two? I thought maybe, Emery, I thought maybe Bo Nix would be an option there. It wouldn't be for you. Do you think the NFL evaluators might take Bo Nix in that same range as like a Spencer Rattler, early round two maybe?
Yeah, that's exactly where even you know, look at a team like the Raiders. I brought them up. They could technically bypass right there because those three teams pick right now, back to back. What, Vikings, Broncos, and Raiders, right? Mm-hmm. So depends on what happens before the Raiders. They could bypass the position and go with a position player. Then you know, circle back, maybe jump back in round one and say, hey, we'd rather have Bo Nix or take Bo Nix in round two. I do see him as a day two guy. Don't get me wrong, but I do feel like Bo Nix can go in day two because of, you know, people will, you know, you have the SEC tax, you have the Power Five tax, you have the, you know, what we saw last tax. So Bo Nix definitely has helped himself by playing bonus football.
So you mentioned like that low ADOT or low air yards per attempt, Adam, and this just seems like the perfect fit for Sean Payton.
Yeah.
Like, just let Bo Nix drop back and he can throw those same passes to Alvin Kamara 17 times a game. And Sean Payton gets to run the type of offense. Do you think that he could fit in a Sean Payton offense, Emery?
I think McCarthy would be great for Sean Payton because he could kind of mold and develop him. But I can understand why you would say Bo Nix, because, again, if you're Sean Payton, you want someone that will do what's hey, this is what the play is. Play like this. And, you know, he does show some athleticism to where he can kind of create above the X's and O's. So, yeah, I could see Sean Payton working with him as well.
Did you just
put what happens when it's third and 10 or it's the fourth quarter and you're down by four?
You don't have the right quarterback in place.
Well, if it's Sean Payton, that's third and 10, then you just throw a screen to Alvin Kamara and then you'll have fourth and four and try to throw another screen to Alvin Kamara.
Are you putting Kamara on the Broncos? Did I miss something?
Javonte, well, like whoever. It's that's, you know what I mean.
I just like, gosh, I haven't been getting the alerts on my phone. I hope I don't miss I know what you mean.
A running back.
I know. I gotcha.
Taysom Hill.
There you go. That'll probably happen. All right, Emery, thank you so much. Great hearing from you.
Appreciate you guys, man. Thanks a lot. You guys do great work. Listen, my dentist, Dr. Perlmutter, watches FFT religiously, guys. Every time I'm in there, you know how they, as soon as they start drilling, hey, I watch FFT. What you think about those guys? Like, bro, you got a whole kind of contract. I can't talk to you right now. Like, ask me afterwards. But he is a super fan. He loves you guys.
All right. Well, that's awesome.
Emery's going to be back on Friday. On FFT Dynasty.
Yes, on FFT
Talking
Dynasty.
Running backs.
Absolutely.
Oh.
I'm trying to think of a dentist pun here. I hope this show had all the filling that you need. You should watch it twice a day and floss. And all right, I got to fluoride out of here. All right, I got nothing. We got to go. That was tough. Dentist puns. We got to go. That's Emery, Heath, and Dave, and our producer, Thomas Schaefer. I'm Adam Azer. We'll talk to you tomorrow with wide receiver talk on Fantasy Football Today.
You got to drill deeper than that.
Hello, everyone. It's Mike Richards here. You might have seen me on CBS working on their Champions League coverage over the last couple of years. I wanted to tell you about an exciting new podcast that I've been working on. It's called The Rest Is Football. It's me, alongside Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer, two absolute legends of the game. The show combines topical debate from the world of soccer along with outrageous tales from our careers. And I mean outrageous. Just search The Rest Is Football wherever you get your podcasts. All the best from Big Meats.